The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. The broadcast is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. The beautiful game from her point of view. Amy, Shereen, Signe, Claire, Rhea, just to name a few. Broadening perspectives, horizons, and minds. You're tuned into the broadcast on Footy Prime.
BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime and this episode of the broadcast. Okay, this is the broadcast. It's a very special episode of the broadcast because we have a special guest. We're without our friend, Shereen Salty Ahmed, and she's going to be pissed that she's missing this guest. But that voice that you heard there before I introed, Signe Butler and myself, Amy Walsh, is DB Pridham. So the very same DB Pridham who had the first hat trick in NSL history, the league's first golden boot, a sweep of all major individual honors, including player of the year, forward of the year, team of the season, and newly minted Canadian international. Welcome, DB. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it. Fun to be here.
Yeah, we're really happy to have you here. We had O. Scott, your teammate Liv Scott.
Yeah,
she said she was a big fan, and like we just love saying her name, so we use it in a like a variety of settings. If it's good, we're like, "Oh, Scott," and it could also
That's
be like
funny.
Her red card. Oh, Scott.
Yeah,
right. So we hope she comes back. But my question to you to kick this all off is: after a year where you scored 20 goals, you broke all the records, you won all the awards. Where do you go for year two? Like, how do you reset? Like, you keep climbing up that mountain, 6 caps for the national team. But what is that process like for you to get yourself not up, because I'm sure the motivation's there, but just to goal set for yourself to try to kind of one up the year before?
Yeah, I think honestly, the main focus is just consistency. You know, a lot of the awards from last year, to not let them come too much pressure into the year that I'm going into, and kind of use them as more of an exciting motivation of, you know, seeing what I can accomplish, what I did accomplish, and then what I can do this year to just contribute. And obviously so many amazing accomplishments that I got last year, and not necessarily wanting to beat them, but to just continue that consistency, that momentum personally, and then for me to just continue to become a better player, a better version of myself this year. And I think that's the biggest thing that I focus on, is the same motivation that I go into every practice, every game, is just trying to be a better version of myself and better player, and not looking too far ahead as I did last year, where I kind of just stayed in the moment, the present moment, and did what I could on the field to help our team win. And I'm going to do the same this year.
And obviously you have to one up the celebrations as well.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, we haven't had Desi around obviously to like motivate those, but we need to keep doing that. It's been down a little bit, but they'll come.
Yeah, you guys are scoring goals, so that's not a problem at all.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, you know, today we're recording on Wednesday. We know the Canadian national team announcement just came down today. You are among the invitees to the next camp here and the next exhibition game. Friendly. So, you know, how are you feeling now that you kind of settled in? Amy mentioned 6 caps, you know, you've got a couple camps under your belt. Like, how are you feeling you're settling into the team?
Yeah, I think the most important part, like you said, like settling in, is just continuing to build that chemistry. I'm obviously a new player. I don't expect anything. I'm still obviously like hoping that I get a call in, and I know that it's an honor to get that call in, and it's exciting for me to have that opportunity for this upcoming camp to have that again. And it's just about consistency with the team and just building those connections, because as you know, there's different players coming in here and there, and just trying to build that connection with the players so that it can, you know, be what it is when you're with your club team, and where you can really connect and know what each other have in their top talent and what people want, whether it's to feed or in behind. And I think as the games have gone on with the camps that I've gone into, the connection has only begun to build and build. And I'm really excited for it when it like finally clicks, when we all know how, you know, each other play, and they also know how I play, and they can trust my movements and trust where I'm going to be. And I'm really looking forward to that when it does click, and it's going to be exciting.
I know that Casey Stoney, I've been lucky enough to be on those calls for One Soccer. So I've been able to cover, you know, since your debut and your arrival to the national team, I've been able to cover it quite closely. But she marveled at your hunger, your hard work, your humble attitude. And she pointed to that as you vaulting yourself onto that starting 11 at She Believes versus Colombia, which was a pivotal match to kind of change the fortune, changed the tide for this national team that was coming off a really difficult ending to 2025. So what was that process like? And was it validating for you to come into camp? You'd been there before for the Japan series, but then you're rewarded in a sense with your first start.
Yeah, that's a great question. It honestly was an incredible moment that I obviously didn't expect. I, like I said, with club, like I go into every training, every game, trying to be a better version of myself. I'm super competitive. Super hungry in training and I do the same with the national team, and to get that recognition from her, you know, as a national team coach, was an honor. And to be sat down and told that I was going to be starting against Colombia, I was just in shock. I was like, let's go. And I think that moment where, you know, she also told me that, like you said, I worked my way into that starting 11. You know, I think that's the biggest thing I do for myself. Like, that's the biggest thing that you can control. If your touches are off, work hard. If you're, you know, your shots are off target in the game, sometimes that happens. If you're not there to be on the tap end, working hard is the biggest thing that you can control. And that's just like the bare minimum that I want to put into in every environment. And, I'm just excited to have that opportunity to bring it into the national team. And it's an honor and a privilege to be around such amazing players and then to be coached by such amazing coaches. And I'm excited for this environment to continue to push me as a player and make me a better player. So to be recognized by her and the rest of the staff, to have that opportunity and privilege to start in that game for my first cap and debut, was an unbelievable moment to have that meeting. I thought it was just going to be like a check-in on how
are you feeling, DB? So, like, you yeah. acclimatizing to the environment, and she's like, you got the start.
Yeah. So I'm excited for more to come and to continue to contribute to the team, and excited for the future with the national team.
You talked about the, you know, building connections and building that chemistry with teammates. You know, we're used to seeing you score goals and which is great, but you're also a provider as well. Like, I think that's an underrated skill that you have and that we're seeing both at the national level and obviously with the NSL. Is there any kind of combinations that you feel like you've really clicked with in terms of like other teammates? Just curious, like, we have our own views here. You know, in the armchair experts.
Yeah, guess, strong biases here at the broadcast.
Yes, but curious, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are, like, one that comes to head is Julia Grosso. I think, like, there's, like, moments where it's just, like, so close that it's going to be through. And I think, like, we've been talking in camp where, you know, like, I'm trying to find her in certain situations, she's trying to find me in certain situations, and it's just a matter of time where it's just going to, like, really click. Same with Nish, Prince. Mm. I think, you know, there's moments where she sees me and we talk about moments that we've both missed. And, you know, I think in total, like Jesse too, like, sometimes she has in the six in the deep spot and can hit me in through. Janine too on the ground, like, from the outside back through on the central runs. But I think, like, in general, I'm just excited about the connection with everyone around me. Like, when there is a ball that's played where I'm making a threatening run and it's close, like, it's just opening more and more gates of being a threatening team in general. And I'm excited for our team to continue to push and be that threatening team in behind, and be annoying for back lines to play against. And we have that hunger and we have that grit, and obviously Canada, that's what we're known for. So, you know, it's exciting that it's happening more and more, and that we're only going to build more with it.
Canada was known for that, and then that was largely absent, I think, in a lot of 2025, and that was what was of concern to fans and pundits and probably internally as well. And I think your arrival, maybe the pushing of the players who maybe hadn't taken for granted, but, like, had just been there all the time, every single window announced, and then fresh blood is injected, and then I think that identity was clear again. But I think it was following your debut in that team huddle, Jesse Fleming presented you with the game ball, and there was something about childhood soccer tennis battles. So I've been racking my brain. Obviously, we made the link there that you guys had some crossover, but did you guys play together? Was it when you were visiting Canada? How did all of that come about?
Yeah, so my family for a while has had a place on Georgian Bay. And my second cousin was really close, or is really close, with her younger sister, Elise. And they were like, oh, you know, you guys should meet. You guys both love soccer. Like, you guys need to meet. So then we obviously both met when we were there at the summer. And it clicked. Like, we obviously became super close. And then we would start to plan when we would go there at the same time every year. And we would work out together, go on runs together, play soccer tennis together, go boating together. Like, we would like write letters to each other before we
you
had
guys
phones.
Were pen pals? Oh my God. So like, what age would you have been when you first met?
I think we were 10. Yeah, 10, I think. But I never played with her. I would go and watch games that her dad coached. We would drive through the night to go watch her play. And yeah, we would just always plan to be around, and we've always kept in touch ever since. She's been one of my close friends, and that was also a really special moment. Is like, obviously she knows or knew that, you know, being a part of the Canadian national team was a dream of mine for a while, and it was just a matter of time. And I hoped that, like, one day I'd have the privilege to play with her, and, you know, just to have that moment and have her as a captain and play with her was like, wow, this has been a dream. So yeah, that I honestly, like, you know, Jessie's more quiet and, you know, quieter with her, like, her leadership. So that moment to have her even do that in front of the group was really special for me. And obviously I didn't expect it and didn't know it was going to come. So when she started talking, I was like, wait, what? So that was really special for me. And yeah, she's a really close friend of mine and a great captain and a great leader. And I'm excited to play with her.
Awesome. I love that. That's like such a full circle moment that you're there.
Yeah, it is.
You know, when you sign with the Ottawa Rapid, I think some people were like, okay, dual national, what's the deal with DB? Like, what's her background? What makes her, you know, a dual national? And then the journey to obviously getting to the national team, you know, some passport snafus, maybe you could take us through that. But what's your connection to Canada? And obviously you have the Georgian Bay thing that you just mentioned, which is a lovely part of this country.
It's beautiful.
What's the connection that people may not know about?
Yeah, so my dad, born and raised in Toronto, and my mom was born and raised in Fort Erie, near Niagara Falls. My brothers were both also born in Toronto, and my whole family lives in Canada, mostly in Ontario. I have cousins who live in Vancouver and Calgary right now, but my parents met in Toronto. They had my brothers, and then my dad's job brought us to California in 1995 or four, I think it was. And it was only supposed to be for 3 years. And I was born in that time. And my dad's job kept us there. And I was born there. And ever since I was born, we would obviously go back to Canada to visit family every single year, sometimes twice a year. So I was born in California. I went to school there, raised in California. But, you know, my blood is Canadian. Every part of my upbringing is Canadian, the way I was raised. And obviously, like, my whole family is Canadian. I'm basically we're the only family who lived in California in the U.S. And so that's like my dual citizenship. I've had the other thing that you're talking about is I had my citizenship card ever since I was young. So every time I would fly to Canada, I would just use my citizenship card, and it never was an issue. And it was, I wasn't thinking to think that I needed my passport for FIFA, which was not smart of me. And then when I last year, I had actually an appointment for my passport before the end of the season. And there was a schedule complication with club, so I wasn't able to go to it. And then when I got called in to Japan, I didn't have it. So it was just a bunch of different things that, you know, it was like woulda, shoulda, coulda, or shoulda, coulda, woulda. And yeah, and honestly, things happen for a reason. I think it was an amazing opportunity for me to, you know, insert myself into the environment and kind of just focus on relationships and focus on training and really get into the team in that way and do whatever I could to help the team for those upcoming games. And that's just what the situation was. They knew what it was going into it. They knew that I didn't have my passport and that there was an opportunity that maybe, I could play. I went to the embassy in Italy, to the Canadian embassy in Italy, to try to get it figured out before I went out to Japan. Didn't work there, because I would have to wait longer. And then we also tried to figure it out in Tokyo to get that sorted, but we were in Nagasaki. So it was just like, might as well just go train. And they wanted to see me train with the group and see how I did. And of course I'm going to go train with the group, even if it's, even if there's a risk of me not playing like any day. So, yeah, it happened, but it's whatever. I know a lot of people were confused, but it's just background noise. Like, I'm a Canadian. I had the citizenship, which is the utmost form of citizenship there is. FIFA wanted passport, but I have it now.
I love that.
Oh, go ahead, Amy. I was just going to say, I love the resourcefulness, first of all, of like, mm-hmm. just trying to like go through every avenue. But I think what you're saying, like, the relationship building is like so important, and like to be able to focus on just that and just your training and inserting into the environment, I think it's just like, that's great. Great.
Yeah. You gotta do what you have given to you, and that's what happened. So that's what, you know, I had to work with. And that's like you said, the most important part, is the community or the connection with the players, the community mm-hmm. of the team.
And plain to see that same industry that is frequently on display, whether you're playing for the Rapid or for Canada, is also part of your MO outside the pitch, that you're going to do your due diligence and try to get things done. It didn't work out, but you still have that national team experience. So I'm looking at the time and we still have some rapid fire questions for you. So we're going to get to that in just a second. But of course, today it's the Ottawa rapid fire questions.
Okay.
I want to ask you about playing for Katrina, getting recruited by Christina Kiss. What was the draw? Because you were in Iceland, then you were in Sweden. And then this year, adapting and to the shift after you lose two massive pieces in the heart of that midfield in Ellen Gibson and your captain in Desi Scott.
Yeah, I think, first of all, the pull to the NSL was to have the opportunity to be a part of history and start that foundation for Canada soccer, for the future generations to be in this league and to be a part of inspiring younger generations. It's an honor to be in this league, I think, because it's just something so big for the country. And I'm excited to be a trailblazer for that and creating the pathway for future generations to come and to have the opportunity to play in front of family. Like, most of my family has never seen me play. I played at Santa Clara University, then I went to Iceland, then I went to Sweden, and they all just knew about the hard work that I put in behind everything because I would be working out at the cottage and in front of my family. So they were like, oh, I wonder what she's like, actually, like what she's doing. We've never seen it come to life. So to have that ability to play in front of my family is massive. It's a game changer to be able to look into the stands and your family's there. Like, it's a detail that, you know, some people take for granted and you don't really know how important it is till you don't have it. So those were three big things. And then obviously being like feeling in my gut that it was the right thing to do. I felt the connection with the staff and I was like, this is where I'm supposed to go. And then, two big players leaving, definitely tough, but it's a part of the sport. You know, they were big parts of building the culture that we're only trying to implement more and more into this year and the years to come, and creating that culture. Like, we're the beginning for Ottawa Rapid FC, and it's important to lay the foundation for the players to come. Players come and go in soccer. So we obviously miss them, but it's not, we can't dwell on, you know, who we used to have or what happened in the past or, you know, what we have and don't have now, or it's even like what was different then and what we are even better at. I think we have more players in the attack, which is amazing. And I find us to be a like more attacking threat this year, which has been exciting. And, it was an honor to play with Desiree Scott. Like, I can't even put into words how amazing of a person and player she is. She just brings so much to the table. And I think now we individually are trying to fill that void and doing what we can as individuals to like bring what she brought in different ways and to bring what we learned from her into this year and to inspire other players to do the same, because it plays a big role in a team's success. And does a lot for our club and did a lot for our club to to have so much success in the future. So we miss them, and hopefully they'll come visit. Yeah, hopefully they're listening to this and hopefully they come visit. But
forward yeah, we miss them.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm really excited with who we've brought in and mm-hmm. and what they've brought to the table for our team and what they've contributed to our success this year. And I'm excited for the games to come for sure.
Okay. Sigs, I know you probably have tons more questions for TB. I'm it's suppressing okay. the urge to ask more as well. We'll see. Maybe loop it in after. We'll get these in quick. So this is a quick get to know me on Footy Prime, the broadcast, okay. the Ottawa rapid fire questions. Okay. So just whatever comes to mind first, doesn't have to be a long answer. You need to gain okay. weight quickly for a movie role. What is your go-to junk food to reach your goal and put on the weight?
Timbits.
Oh, amazing.
I love Timbits.
Oh, what's your favorite?
Oh, sour cream glazed.
I love that.
And chocolate. Okay. They're kind of like a tie. But the honey dip is really good, but it has to be like freshly baked. Like it can't be a sitting honey dip.
Oh,
it has
no,
to be
the like sitting just, honey dip is too crusty. No, it's
so bad. but I love Timbits. Hopefully Tim Hortons didn't hear me say it's so bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Tim Hortons, reach out to DB.
If you're not listening to tunes of the moment or popular tunes, what decade of music are you listening to?
Ooh, it's a good question. Probably early 2000s. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. And who is like the team DJ or like who has, what did we say, Amy? Who's on Ox?
Who's on Ox?
Yeah. Molly Erickson still. Same last year, same this year. She just, she knows what to play. Yeah. She's on it.
Okay.
And she's still
like
on
reading
it.
The room, creating the vibe. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Always plays the right stuff, whether we're in the gym or it's before a game or whatever, waiting for meetings. Like she's on it.
Nice. Okay. What NSL team do you love playing against? We need you to name names here. And what player do you hate playing against?
Oh, name names?
Yes.
I love playing against Toronto because I love that my family is all there. That's for like love playing against. I would say hate playing against. Oh, I mean, I don't hate playing against anyone. That's
but it could be like you can turn it into being like they're such a great defender that it challenges me, or you just like to face up against a certain team or something like that. It doesn't have to be a negative.
Yeah, I think I love facing Montreal. I think they're a strong team, and I think they, you know, for example, Hill, like she's a tough defender in the air, especially on set pieces. So I find like that, you know, to be an exciting matchup for sure. She's a tall player and a strong player.
You get to meet your sports hero. Who is it and why?
Oh, well, I've already met Sinclair, so I can't say that. she's a legend. Sports hero. I mean, it would be sick to meet Marta and have a conversation with mm-hmm. her. And, you know, I think she's done so much for women's soccer. She's one of the biggest, I think, inspirations for younger kids. I think, like, especially when, now that she's, I don't even know how old she is now. Do you guys know how old she is now? 30?
She's like, no, she's in her 40s, isn't she?
42? Is it 42?
Yeah.
And
I think she's the same age as Think.
Yeah, she's just like incredible. The fact that she's still playing, still starting, still coming on and scoring, like setting, assisting. I think that is just, that implements like hero because she's done so much in the past. She's still doing stuff for like now and for the future. And it just pushes the boundaries for women's soccer to know that like what women are capable of as you get older and older. I think before like older was, you know, where I am now, 28, but now older is the boundaries. I'm not old anymore, but I think like 10 years ago, I would be considered old for in women's soccer. And I think she's a big part of pushing that boundary. And showing like what we're capable of, especially the players who are having kids and coming out and playing after with Swanson and Smith and Right. Yeah, and it's extremely inspiring.
Yeah, an icon of the game for sure. What was your favorite club growing up and why?
Favorite club growing up? Ooh, I would say, that's a good question. My dad used to, he would wear a United jersey all the time. So I really liked United. And then when I was growing up, we would go to a lot of Earthquakes games.
Sure.
So I would say those two. And then I would also say we had a Gold Pride team back in the day in the San Jose area. And actually, Marta used to play on that team. It was FC Gold Pride, I think it was. So that came later when I was growing up, and I would always love going to those games, and they would be huge, or they would have trainings and we would go watch. But like I said, there wasn't much of a women's soccer inspiration locally for me growing up. There was the FC Gold Pride later on, but now to be able to do that for, Canadians here is huge. And I love seeing little girls come to our games because I was this wasn't around. And now we can start beginning that for the future generations to come, that it can be one of those things where it's that was Rapid FC was my favorite club growing up. And that's really cool to be a part of.
Awesome. We skipped a question, Amy, but I'm going to ask this.
Okay.
I'm going to ask it because this was one of my questions I wanted to ask DB about.
Yeah.
Okay. If you weren't playing soccer, what sport would you be playing professionally?
Ooh. I feel like I would be really good at tennis.
Okay. That wasn't where I thought you were going to go. I was wondering if you played other sports growing up.
Well, I did. I did play tennis. But I mean, I also played basketball. I wasn't so much the shooter. I was more the stealing the ball. And then I'd pass it to the shooter. I would be the passer and the playmaker. But tennis, I think I would play. Or maybe golf.
Okay.
I love golf. I know that's a hidden thing.
Yeah.
I think
golf
is such
a... You can play Vanessa in tennis, though. Are you and Vanessa going to play tennis against each other?
We actually are going to play golf, which is...
No way! That's amazing!
Yeah. So I think we're going to go to the driving range. We actually were going to go today. I'm not sure if we're still going. But we've been talking about it because she's back in Ottawa right now. We're going to go to camp, but maybe when we both come back from camp and she comes back, we'll play.
So cool. Yeah. And you picked
I think tennis pursuits. Would be sick to be.
Yeah.
What did you say? Sorry.
I was going to say the two pursuits or two professions where the money is, right? Like golf and tennis, you could make bank.
Yeah. And yeah. I also think I think playing, I don't know. It's just so intense and it's quick. And I think playing doubles or singles, I think it would be a really exciting game to play. And there's a really cool atmosphere around it now. So I think tennis would be sick.
Okay.
That's what I'd pick. If I put the same amount of training into soccer as a different sport, I think it would be tennis.
Yeah. I bet if you'd chosen those avenues, you would have succeeded just based on your work rate and your commitment. Okay. Two more and then we'll let you go.
Okay.
So you have a week off. Where are you vacationing?
Georgian Bay.
Nice.
Yeah.
Best of Canadian.
Was there another question?
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Sneaks is coming.
Yeah. I was just, pausing for dramatic effect. best of Canadian food, multiple choice. And you can insert your own to this, but A shawarma, B poutine, C butter chicken roti, or D meatball sub, or
you can go off the board.
Yeah.
Okay. I would say B poutine. And then also I love timbits. Like I said, I did actually have a really good meatball sub, at a little sandwich shop just right around where I live. And it was so good. I had one literally 2 days ago. I can't remember the name of the place. Oh,
really? This meatball sub should be named. It should be called the Pritam. It should be called the DB.
That's true. Imagine I go in there. They have no idea. They're like, what?
Yeah. What are you talking about? No, but you should name the sandwich after me. Yeah. Seriously. We should start a campaign.
It's super good. Yeah.
Okay. Love it.
Starts now.
Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for coming
on
the pause and regaling us with all of these cool kind of behind the scenes tales of your national team kind of exploits and also with Ottawa Rapid. Best of luck for the rest of the season and come back and visit us anytime you like.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Because Sydney has more questions.
Yeah, and so do I, actually. We didn't ask you about your spray painting, if you've tagged anything in Ottawa. Like, how are you so adept with spray paint? Like, I have so many questions about your fashion.
That was actually my first time trying spray paint.
Was it?
Like, as I did it, yeah. Nico was my assistant, Golan, during the painting process. And she was like, are you going to, like, test it before you do it? I'm like, nope, let's go.
Just started going. I love it.
Yeah, just went all in. And it was fun.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay, because then seeing the jackets that you made last year, mm-hmm. the ones that got auctioned off, and I saw them at the pitch kind of tour around Canada, and you guys were sporting them there. I wanted to ask if you could make us here at the broadcast some special jackets, but maybe that could be a project in the future. Yeah,
I'm open to that club.
We're putting you under pressure by asking you publicly.
Exactly.
I know. You have to do it now.
Yeah. And me agreeing, is this contractual? Like,
yeah, that's it. You signed the waiver. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, cool. Thank you so much, DB. Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. And here on the broadcast, thank you for broadening your horizons with us. And thank you, DB. And thanks, Shauna, for setting it up. Cheers, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
Awesome. Bye.